Hey, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Just wanted to put both my hands up, but I was trying to keep it together. I don't normally drink coffee before I teach, but here we go. It was cold. We needed to be warmed up, right? I am so thankful to be with you this morning. Thank you for that introduction, Cheryl. Just as a new member of Fellowship, it feels like an extra special privilege to be with you in the new year as we begin the study of Proverbs. So, welcome. I am just excited to see what God has for us this morning. Normally, on Tuesday mornings, I'm in the Discover Bible study that meets down this hall with a different group of women. So, I know many of you are new to me and I'm new to you. So, let's get to know each other. Thanks for being here. Before we get started, I'm going to pray for us and then we'll open our Bibles. Okay. Father God, thank you for this church. Thank you for these women. Thank you for warm coffee on cold days. Thank you for your word. Lord, we know that unless your spirit speaks to our hearts this morning, everything we do here will just be in vain. So, God, I pray that you would do that now. Quiet our hearts and our minds, and open our hearts and our ears to hear your truth and your words this morning. We love you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed your Christmas break and had some downtime. It feels like the holidays flew by. I can't believe we're already saying it's January 20th. When Cheryl said that, I'm like looking down, like, is that the right day? That's the right date. That's where we're at. Time is marching on. The new year has begun. I don't typically make resolutions, but I do usually pick a word of the year. I know a lot of my friends do that. I'm sure some of you do as well. I haven't picked my word for this year. I just want to confess that right now. But I'm sure God's going to reveal that to me any day, and I'll keep you posted. When we stop and we pause at the beginning of the new year, we get to look back and reflect on the way God is growing us and all the things that we've done in the previous year and all the things that we hope to do in the coming year. That's a really healthy practice for us. And really, just because you're here today, I know that you're growing in the Lord, or at least that you desire to. Am I right? We all want to be growing in wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs is a perfect place for us to start as we look to God's word and reflect on what he's taught us in the past and what we hope to know in the future. I want us to keep one thing in mind. This book of Proverbs, we look to it as wisdom literature. It's written in poetry form. It's still about God. We want to make it about ourselves. We want to make it about how does this speak to us and how should we make decisions? That's great. The word is going to teach us how to do those things. But also, this is about honoring God, giving God glory with our lives, and learning about God's ways in his kingdom and his world that he created. So we'll open our books to chapter one of Proverbs. Proverbs comes right after Psalms. It's closer to the middle of your Bible. There are 31 chapters. It is something to consider reading a chapter a day. It'll keep us on task. It is a challenge should you choose to accept it. I kind of love that. There's a lot of freedom here because if you miss a chapter, you can just jump back in. There's no pressure. 2 Peter 3:18 teaches us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we grow in our faith, we want to be growing in wisdom. We don't want to waste precious time being foolish or focused on the wrong things. But it can be tough to live with confidence when we are trying to act wisely in our marriage, trying to act wisely with our finances, trying to be wise with our time. We want to be good daughters and mothers and friends. We've all looked at that woman described in Proverbs 31 and wondered, well, how did she do it all? How can I be like her? She's clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks with wisdom, and her children rise up and call her blessed. I want to be like that. I think most of us do. So, what does it take? Well, I know as a society, we are obsessed with the pursuit of knowing things. We want to know about everything. That's an overwhelming amount of information out there for us to consume everywhere we look. We want to turn on our TVs. We want to Google on our phones. We want to use our laptop. It's all right there at our fingertips. We can listen to a podcast in the car wash and check our email in the pickup line. I was praying this morning on our way in and was praying about the things that the Lord has been revealing to me over the last month or so as I've thought about our time together today. And the Lord just spoke so clear. We worry about the wrong things. We want to know all about how to make a roast and how to contour our makeup and how to get across town the fastest. And we're pouring all this information in all the time. It's nonstop. It's 24/7. But those aren't the things that really matter. Those aren't eternal things like God's Word. So I'm hoping that as we step into this study, we'll prioritize God's Word a little higher on our priority list. Before we check in with the world, we'll check in with God. Because we certainly can ChatGPT and AI and Google and Siri and Alexa and all of that until we're just blue in the face. What it'll do is it'll leave us exhausted because we're just consuming, right? I was convicted about that. I know I've used multiple resources like those that I just mentioned in the last week or so. How about you guys? I mean, even coming to church, I'm like putting it in my map and I'm like, is this the quickest route? We just want to be efficient, right? We just want to make the most of our time. But all of that just feels like running. Anybody call a friend or mom for advice this week? That's a good source, right? People we trust, people we love, people that know us best. That's not a bad thing. My point here, though, is to say that there is just this deep longing in us to know things. There's also a deep longing and need in us to be known. And in some way, we desire to impart knowledge to others. We want to share the things we're learning. So this is a perfect place for doing all of those things, growing and learning and sharing what we're learning. The more and more we use those things that are at our fingertips, the less we are spending in God's Word. God's Word is going to give us everything we need, and it's better than any source of modern information. Our Bibles are readily available to us more than ever before, and even though they're not difficult to access, we still find it a challenge to read it, to know it, and apply it to our lives. Until we allow God to help us live as His children, we're going to struggle with prioritizing time in the Word. All of that means we are consuming that earthly knowledge, but we're lacking the spiritual wisdom that we so desire. As we study Proverbs, our goal will be to know God and His ways more deeply. Today, we're going to look at some of the overarching themes of the whole book, and we're going to look at all the who, what, when, where details that we need to know up front before we dig in. So when you get your workbook, I didn't realize that some of you might not have it. It is going to jump around a lot. Like Cheryl said, it's like thematic and topical. And I really love that because I think it highlights for us those ways that the Word can be a little bit repetitious. That helps me to remember things, especially when I see that God is speaking on the same thing multiple ways. In case we don't get it the first time, He gives it to us a second time and a third time. And, you know, a fourth time because we're slow. We're like sheep, right? So when you get that workbook, you'll notice that it's going to jump around. It's going to group those similar concepts and topics together. And hopefully that'll help us to grasp what God is trying to say. Thematically, we're going to talk about fearing the Lord. And I know a lot of people immediately hear that and they think, what, I'm supposed to be scared of God? No, this is about giving reverence to God, being in awe of Him, and trying to live according to His ways, acknowledging that He's authority over our lives. And some of us have authority issues, right? We don't like to be told what to do, but hopefully when God is telling us what to do, that's different. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to look at some opposing concepts like wisdom versus foolishness. It is a really big theme. Matter of fact, in 2 weeks, we're just going to talk all about that as we come into this space. We're going to talk about righteousness versus wickedness. We'll see how the power of our words can cause harm and how wise it is to speak the truth and kindness. We'll consider diligence over laziness. I think that that's a good word for all of us. We'll examine how God exalts the humble and resists the proud. We'll look at topics like wealth and poverty, justice and fairness, family relationships and sexual relationships. We'll talk about self-control and discipline. All of those topics are covered in the book of Proverbs. I feel like that covers every topic that is valuable for Christian living today. I didn't leave anything out. Most weeks, you're not going to read the entire chapter like Cheryl said. You're going to be jumping around. So we're issuing sort of that challenge to you on your own to be reading the book of Proverbs. And I think it'd be super cool if by the time we're done, we've read Proverbs even just twice, right? Because when we repeat it, we're more likely to remember it. So in addition to reading a chapter a day, we are suggesting a memory verse each week, and your memory verse for this week comes from what most theologians would call the hinge point for the whole book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 9:10. I'm going to read it for us. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That concept, that verse is repeated 4 times in Proverbs in different ways. We'll get into a little more of that in just a second, but all wisdom and moral understanding stem from a right relationship with God. And as this verse is echoed, we're going to get a little taste of what it means to have awe and reverence or fear of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles. I think most of us did, to chapter 1. If you're here last semester, you know, it's right after Psalms. I think I already said that, so we'll keep going. It's worth mentioning that Proverbs is a collection of literature, so it has multiple authors. King Solomon wrote most of what we read in our book of Proverbs, but there are 2 other kings listed, Agur and King Lemuel. And so how cool is it that we have the words of kings inspired by the Lord to read today? Chapters 1 through 9 in the book of Proverbs introduce a divinely inspired worldview, and these chapters outline the main themes of the book. So if you were going to divide the book of Proverbs into 2, chapters 1 through 9 go together, and chapters 10 through 31 go together. Chapters 10 through 31 reflect back on what we read in chapters 1 through 9. So even today, if you read Proverbs chapter 20, it's going to be like little sayings that point back to the things that are outlined in the first 9 chapters. So I feel like that was really helpful for me when I was setting up the framework of reading and studying the book of Proverbs, to know that it's really organized in 2 separate divisions. Wisdom literature was written to engage us. It's poetry, so sometimes it's repetitive for emphasis. And in the original Hebrew language, it was written in a way that would have sounded pretty, you know, it would have alliteration and personification. Personification is where we take things that aren't alive and we make them alive, like wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, there's Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, foolishness and wisdom. And so I think that that's helpful also to keep in mind, because poetry is different than reading historical narrative, like most of the Bible is written. So Proverbs can be both simple and profound. And what I mean by that is they have like a simple surface meaning, and then they have another deeper meaning. So sometimes you'll read it and it'll hit you one way, and you'll read it again and you'll be like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. But all of God's word is like that, right? So the audience directly addressed in the book of Proverbs are the wise, the foolish, and the simple. I feel like, again, that covers everybody. We can all fall into different categories at different times, but we fit into one of those categories. So despite the fact that Proverbs is an ancient text, its wisdom is similar to modern wisdom, because wisdom is true for any time in history. It's timeless. It's relevant. A little backstory to understanding who King Solomon is and was, because he's the writer of Proverbs 1 today. We can look back in the book of Kings and we can learn lots of things about King Solomon. We know that he was a fascinating man. He was the wisest man to ever live, the wisest king there ever was. He was David and Bathsheba's son, and he began ruling Israel after David's death, but not before his brother tried to take the throne by a coup. That's a different story for a different time, but you can read about it in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings 3, we see that Solomon's first encounter with God happens in a dream. So Solomon has this encounter where the Lord asks him, "What do you want?" And he says, "I want to be wise. I want to be able to distinguish between right and wrong." And he asked for a discerning heart to govern the people. God delights in his request so much that we're told that God makes him the wisest king to ever live, and then he blesses him with riches and a long life. He was the king of Israel for 40 years. He spent 7 of those years building God's temple, and then 13 of those years building his own palace. He's also the writer of Ecclesiastes and the Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, and a couple of the Psalms are written by Solomon as well. 1 Kings 4:29 says that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. If you go down to verse 32 in 1 Kings 4, it says he spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs numbered 1,005. Kings and queens and diplomats from all over the world came to listen to Solomon talk. In modern terms, his wisdom went viral and everybody wanted to hear his TED Talks. I think that that's important. We like to know the source of who we're listening to, right? And if there was anyone to listen to, it would have been this guy. So right there in chapter 1, without further ado, let's see what it says. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instructions and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That verse 7 sound a little familiar? Kind of sounds like our memory verse from chapter 9, verse 10. This is one of those 4 times that we hear that that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We'll also see it in chapter 8, verse 13, and chapter 15, verse 33. The main truth of the book of Proverbs, the big idea, is that those who follow God's wise design for living avoid the perils that others fall into and enjoy the life that God has meant for us to live. I want to avoid the perils. Drama-free is the way to be. We don't have time for the drama, girls. So, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end. So it just puts us on the path to becoming wise. And there are 2 paths, path of wisdom and the path of foolishness, all throughout the book of Proverbs. Those 2 paths are kind of running parallel together. So if we're on the path of wisdom, we're following God's ways. And if you've ever been on a hike, you know that if you stay on the path, you get to the summit a lot faster. It's easier, even if it's a really hard hike. If you get off the path, you're going to get in the weeds. You're going to get dirty. There's dangerous things there. So we want to stay on that path. We want to have reverence for God's ways. And we know that this way leads to life, that destruction and death are off the path. We're placing ourselves on the path of destruction when we ignore God's word. Our introduction says that the book is written for six different reasons. Those verses that we just read, there were seven verses. The first six are the reasons that the book of Proverbs is recorded for us today. Let's just look at them really quickly. It said, to know wisdom, to have instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Number four, it says to receive instruction, which sounds a little bit repetitive, but it's illustrating that when we receive instruction, it's different from having been instructed. This means that we're able to apply what we've learned, to make application. When we know better, we do better, or at least we should. The fifth reason in the introduction outlines for us to help the young and the naive. And lastly, that sixth reason is stated that it is helpful for us to learn how to read Proverbs and riddles. I think about when Jesus is talking later in the New Testament in parables. When we get wisdom, four different times Proverbs says, get wisdom, get it. Like, okay, go get it. We can receive wisdom, we can go get it, but also it's going to help us to understand later parables and riddles that Scripture is known for having. Okay, so truly, the book has something for everyone. And when we keep reading just a little bit further, it says Proverbs 1:8, and I've got all of my Scripture from the NIV, just in case you were wondering. Proverbs 1:8, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. So Solomon is telling his son to lean in, take heart, listen up. This is that father-son advice that's really personal. It's very intimate. You think of the times you've had a conversation with your mom or your dad or a loved one who's giving you advice. It's important, right? We do. We want to write it all down and try to remember all of it. Well, in this case, the father is warning the son what is going to happen if he's not wise and careful. And you know what the king's son eventually gets to become is a king. So we know that King Solomon did have a son to sit on Israel's throne. The book of Kings records that for us as well. And could this section of Proverbs have been recorded for us to consider as an open letter to Rehoboam? It sure could. That's a fun name to say, isn't it? We don't know that for certain. It's not directly addressed to him, but it's definitely something that is very likely. And we learn that King Rehoboam does not embody wisdom. The very first thing that Scripture records regarding his reign, Solomon has died. King Rehoboam comes into the throne. These guys come to him and they want an easier life. They've been working really hard for King Solomon. And he sends them away and says to come back in 3 days. He's going to talk to his advisors, come up with a plan. So he talks to the guys, the elders that had advised King Solomon. They give him some advice. And then he goes to his peers, these younger guys that have been raised with him that are now serving him. And he listens to what they have to say and he takes their advice. And it's terrible. What ends up happening is the kingdom of Israel is torn into two. We get a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and both of them are eventually exiled. The nation of Israel, from this point forward, becomes divided. So imagine having the wisest man in the world, the wisest king that ever lived, giving you advice and then not taking it. Do we do that? Unfortunately, we do. I mean, we have the wisest king's words recorded for us, the word of God, and yet we sometimes either we lack knowing it and we in that way neglect it, or we listen to it and we just think, oh, that was true for ancient culture, but not true for our culture. It's just really hard. But we do that all the time. And what a shame. There's a difference between being wise and having knowledge, or being like street smart. And I think that that's really important for us to make a distinction of. Proverbs is called wisdom literature because it teaches us how to live wisely according to God's character, for His glory and for our good. There's a famous theologian, his name is A.W. Tozer. He says, I'm kind of paraphrasing, that the quest for wisdom and truth is seeking of God. The point he's making is that when we're searching for wisdom, we're really searching for God, because wisdom comes from God. God has the answers to all the questions that we lay awake, at night and worry about. Too many times we'll just Google it, or we'll call mom instead of praying about it, right? Instead of opening His word and meditating on His scripture, or asking Him, God, would you help make me wise? Knowledge is good. We have knowledge when we have facts. And in many cases, knowledge is even power in our society. But wisdom is how we apply those facts to our life. Without wisdom, our knowledge is all useless. Think about it. You've met plenty of people that are book smart, but lack common sense, right? Common sense is becoming less and less common. I feel like we should call it uncommon sense, because every day we're going to hear something on the radio, on the news, talk to our friend, our neighbor, our kids. And we're just like, wait, what did you just say? Is that really what you're thinking? Because it is. We are sheep, right? We're not very smart. And apart from God, we can do no good thing. That's just the bare minimum truth. So as common sense becomes less common, we can recognize that wisdom comes from the Lord alone. Later on in Proverbs, we get to look at Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. But today, I do want to take us to chapter 2. I want us to look here at verses 1 through 8. Picks up, he says, my son, if you accept my words and you store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and you search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just, and He protects the way of His faithful ones. This passage is filled with lots of action verbs. We're called to action in this passage. We are to accept God's word. We have to accept it. We have to store it up. We have to listen to it, apply it to our hearts, and then cry out when we don't understand it. They're like hidden treasures. That means they're valuable. This is how we understand what it means to fear the Lord and the knowledge of God. It is an active process. It's not passive. We can't just take it as it comes. If that's what we're doing, I think that that's what God's word would say is being lazy. Over and over, Solomon's going to say, get wisdom. Like, it's going to come to you, but you have to take it. You have to seek it. Jeremiah 29:13, it says that we will find Him when we seek Him. First, we seek Him. I mean, He's always pursuing us, right? Because He's everywhere. He's with us now. He's in the room. If you've asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. So you have the wisdom of God in you. But we have to seek to find. So simply reading God's word is not enough. In order to actually walk wisdom's path, we must know God and obey God's word. It says here that then He is a shield and He protects us. The wisest thing any of us could ever do is to place our trust in God's plan for our lives. We do that by accepting Jesus as God's plan for salvation. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Jesus became wisdom for us. Okay, so then when Jesus is teaching in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. Although we will never know everything that there is to know about God, He has revealed everything that we need to know about salvation, life, and godliness through His Word and through His Son. James 1:5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So God will grant us wisdom when we ask for it. He'll give us salvation, because and that belongs to Him. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's a lifelong process that we take on of becoming sanctified. And sanctification is how we increase in godliness and holiness. But it takes our participation, right? It takes learning God's word and then applying it. It takes obedience. And even all of that requires God's grace. It's a mystery to us how all of these things work together. But when we spend time with Jesus, we do grow in wisdom. And that's why it's about having a relationship with Jesus. Because apart from Jesus, we don't know the Lord. It's kind of like when we take our vitamins or we eat our healthy food. We don't really know how all that works. We just know that it works, right? That's what they say. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior yet, you can do that today. And I know for sure that there are probably some in this room and in this building right now that definitely need to take that first step. That's step one in becoming wise in the ways of the Lord, is making the Lord Jesus your Lord and Savior. So if you're considering that, or if you've got any questions about that, I'm happy to stick around and talk to you about that. So are your leaders. I know that we pray for salvation for those that are still seeking the Lord and have questions for Him. I do want us to close with a prayer from Paul in Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better." After all, that is the personal knowledge that has the power to bring dead men to life and informs every decision that we make. Let's pray. God, Your word never returns void, and we praise You that You were with us this morning. Thank You, God, for revealing true and new things. I pray that You would help us to apply Your word to our hearts and to our lives, that we would be different because we were here together this morning and You did a work in us. And Father, I pray for our women and our leaders as they go into their small groups, that You would bless them with Your presence, that conversation would be sweet, and that those who are looking for more knowledge of who You are would find You, Lord, that they would seek You and find You. And that we would do our part in just walking alongside You, Lord, asking You for wisdom. We ask that You make us wiser today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.